You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Hey, One of Us Network listeners, this is Trevor from the Nighthawks podcast, invading your space to ask you to give us a spin if you like movies.
And I'm Matt, joining Trevor to ask you to join our cult.
May not be a cult.
Probably a cult. On the Nighthawks podcast, we cover new movies, old movies, great movies, bad movies, so bad they're good movies. And we cover movies from Norway.
One movie from Norway, one time.
So far. And it was a really good movie from Norway.
It is a good movie from Norway.
It's got Stellan Skarsgård.
Matt, this is a promo for our podcast, the Nighthawks podcast. Do you want people to listen to the podcast, or do you want them to watch In Order of Disappearance?
Wasn't that the point of covering In Order of Disappearance on the podcast, to get people to watch it?
Fair enough. Watch In Order of Disappearance, and then afterwards listen to our Nighthawks podcast episode on it. Or you could listen to an episode on any of the over 120 other movies we've covered.
You can find us on Google Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, and at nighthawkspodcast.com.
I say, these movies, they always have big surprises, but I couldn't believe they managed to keep the fact that Paul Walker isn't really dead a secret for this long. What a shocker that was! Yeah. My God!
Yes, that's the type of tasteful joke that will get Vin Diesel to not kill you.
Oh, if only Vin Diesel would even take notice of me.
I thought the shock of the whole movie was there was a villain you just couldn't see the whole time.
We are talking about F9 or Fast and the Furious 9, or this went through a couple different titles in the early stages. It's also known as F9, The Fast Saga. Oh, it's a saga now.
Yeah, it's a saga now.
Okay.
It's just fine.
I thought three movies makes a saga. They've done that three times.
It's the sequel to the last one, The Fate of the Furious, which in my money is the third worst of the entire series. And I think because they made the mistake of making it kind of dour and depressing, and they made Vin Diesel the bad guy for it. You're like, what are you doing? Literally, the catchphrase of this movie is, the series is, family. And it wasn't that funny. I'm like, it's not terrible, but it definitely left us all kind of feeling, well, I like come to these movies because they're fun and the family thing. And F9, and this one, they bring back Justin Lin, who has directed more of these movies than anyone else, and certainly some of the best ones. And I was excited about that. And I always root for these movies to be good. They're not all good. I love the series, but I am not going to be that guy who tries to pretend that all the Fast and the Furious movies are worth watching, because they're not.
Leave that for Nathan. Leave that
for Nathan. I mean, look, I've watched all of them, but yes, there's most of them I've only watched once.
Yes. So I'm willing to go so far as to say F9 is a distinct improvement over the last one. For some people, I think this is going to be one of their favorites of the series. And I've met some people who actually thought this is one of the lesser chapters. So I'm curious to know what everybody's going to think. And let's see who everybody is. I, of course, am Chris. And joining me is...
Oh, right, Sulek. Hello.
Ben, because Chris keeps letting me back in the door.
Marcos Lira. I actually opened the door this time.
Yes.
You asshole.
I got an in.
So now that we're full on into the... This series is kind of got almost a Saw-level late movie soap opera going on in it, of like continuing storyline and characters who are dead, but now they're not really dead. And like people go, oh, don't worry, you'll catch up. Will you, though? Because it's kind of complicated, all the shit that's happened. Even I've seen all these movies. There's points where I'm like, wait, what was that? Was that a thing? I don't remember that.
I feel like that was a question towards me, because I have to admit, I've never seen any of the franchise, of any of the Fast and Furious movies, and this is the first one. And I kind of got it.
Yeah. Like, just again, you had questions, but
I had questions, and I also, you know, immediately didn't really care. But I still had fun. Like, I get it. I kind of get it now. I can also see that it is one of the lesser Fast and the Furious movies. My attention wasn't grabbed that much sometimes, even though it was just nonstop action and ridiculousness. And then something I did laugh quite a bit. I thought it was still, you know, funny here and there. But I'm slightly curious to go back now to watch the movies just to kind of understand. Then again, I'm also the type of person, I've only seen the last two seasons of Game of Thrones, and everyone's like, you gotta go watch it. I'm like, there was a red wedding, I got it.
Well, the story here starts with something they've never done here before in this whole series, in all nine, technically ten movies, if you count the Hobbs and Shaw spinoff.
Sadly, yes.
We get to see an origin story of these characters.
Spoilers.
Like, holy shit. Well, I mean, it starts that way. It starts in 1989 when Dom...
Long, long past.
Dom is like, I don't know if they said how old he was, but I get like maybe 19 or 20, something like that. Like
he's probably five.
Yeah. But we see his dad, Jack Toretto, who's a professional Formula One car racer, and his sons, you heard that correctly, sons, Dom and Jacob, who we see a little bit later on in the movie, of course, because why would you introduce that he has a brother without making that relevant in the film? We see his car blows the fuck up. Literally, like, I was watching this going, did God kill him?
He dinged the car and it just means like,
no, Chris, explodes. Every NASCAR is actually just dousing gasoline before it goes out on the track.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense anyway. So that goes to the present. Dom is, and Letty, they're retired now. They're living out on farm-ish.
They live in a house.
They live in a,
out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah,
they got a farm. Tractor he's fixing clearly has NOS on it. We all know it.
Meanwhile, some of his buddies, Rumantej and Ramsey, show up and they go, well, Mr. Nobody, which is a character from the previous films that Kurt Russell played, it basically is like the spy master now that they're all spies. I mean, seriously, once upon a time,
were they
right?
Not spies?
No, once upon a time, this was about a bunch of dudes who stole VCRs out of the back of trucks.
I thought
spies are covert.
They're not very covert. Well, they find out that Mr. Nobody has in fact crashed in the middle of Central America. It was attacked by rogue agents. Cypher, who was one of the bad guys from the previous film, Charlie's Theron, was captured by these mysterious rogue agents. And they're like, well, we need your help to go find Mr. Nobody. He specifically set a thing up that only we could see because we're his badass team, even though we don't want to admit it. So they all, Dom reluctantly, because I guess he's convinced himself he's enjoying his retirement, go out to Central America with a bunch of cars that I'm not sure how they got into there and race around through the jungle trying to deal with this. Of course, there's military forces. There's maybe the most outrageous an unbelievable stunt in the history of this entire franchise, but that I loved the shit out of.
Which might be the most divisive moment for our crew, because we had a bunch of people who have not seen it. Hearing either the cheers from me and Chris, like, just going, this is the best, and then I'm going, what the fuck just happened, is probably the best time to watch Fast and Furious together.
I've never seen a movie dare you as, like, shush. Like, or just tell you, like, shush, 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 shush. Don't really think about it. Because if you start to think about it, your head will explode.
The important part is, did it look cool? Yes.
It totally did. And also, I find it funny, because there is a lot of meta stuff that happens in the movie with some of the characters, you know, actually talking about, like, I can't believe we're not dead. And that one moment, I wish that, like, Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez actually, I think she said something to sort of the effect of, like, whoa, that was crazy.
No, she goes, well, we've never done that before.
Yeah. But I wanted finally someone to say, like, holy shit. Like, can we believe we just did that?
But Tyrese didn't see it. So,
right, exactly.
Otherwise, it would have been him. But so this is all after the MacGuffin, which is this a half of this globe-like thing, and you got to get the other half of the globe. When you put it together, well, you become a James Bond villain, and you can control everything. I don't know. Something about computers and nuclear missiles.
It's GoldenEye.
It's one of the few things I will call a weakness of this movie is the MacGuffin is so vaguely described, as well as so vaguely what the villain is trying to do with it. And you're just like, okay, cool, I'm here for the cars, but you're actually making me question you, which is rare.
What the big surprise is, of course, you're like, oh yeah, Dom has a brother. Remember that part? Well, said brother shows up, steals the device from him, and manages to get away in a rather spectacular and impressive way. And unbelievable, of course, but not compared to what Dom does. And he is played by John Cena, who we all, has been well advertised that he's coming in, even though everyone's like, John Cena and Dominic are brothers. How does that work exactly?
Even the movie makes fun of it.
They do address that.
Yeah. I mean, it's insinuated that dad's kids had different moms. So,
but yeah. I was like, okay, at least they did that.
On that note, I've never seen a movie as ridiculous as this try to cover all the tracks. Like, in plot development, yeah. They're like, no, yeah, we got a note for that.
Yeah, they do actually really go to the trouble to try and explain, like, the weirdest stuff that, like, I'm watching a Fast and the Furious movie, you didn't even need to, but I appreciate the effort.
It's because they actually understand that weirdly, as much as we said, like, the lore in these movies is somehow weirdly deep, it's like, they respect it, and they put just enough care into it where you're like, okay, I'll keep caring about this lore and this crazy team, because they have enough heart and, like, love for how deep this gets, where you get, like, kind of choked up when they get to an emotional moment because of that.
And so along the way...
You definitely get choked up.
Along the way, you get to see more and more of the regulars show up, including... I don't want to say the name, because some people don't watch trailers and avoid every bit of media ahead of time for a series that they like, but literally the poster for this movie shows the character. I'll just say, a character that was dead is no longer dead, and it's not Paul Walker, for the record.
I just love how much that this series goes, she's still dead. She's dead to us, because she wants too much money... Like, Charlie's asked for less money than her to come back, so she's dead.
But we see that Jacob is, in fact, working for this movie's particular bad guy, which is a wormy son of a diplomat who we never see, but I presume will figure into the next film at some point. Because he's mentioned so often in here, a bad guy. Even the son doesn't like his dad. But he's like a rich Eurotrash piece of shit that's after both halves of these devices. But Jacob's a super spy, and he's got serious problems with his brother, vice versa, because... Basically, Dom believes that Jacob murdered his father, that he was responsible for his death. Doesn't know why, doesn't care, is just like, fuck you, don't talk to me, we're no longer brothers. All this leads to a series of international things as all the team go and do their own bits to try and, like, pull off the various stages of, let's get the other half. Well, that didn't work, let's do this. It takes place all over the world with super elaborate set pieces, and it has my favorite ridiculous thing in any of these movies so far, which is this electromagnet that's so powerful they just explain it as, wow, that's crazy, I didn't even know you could make an electromagnet this powerful. And that's as much as you can. But that also is weirdly specific about what it attracts and what it doesn't. That's a Fast and the Furious movie thing. It's like pulling the giant safe behind a car.
You can't do that
in real life, but you buy into it for the sake of the movie if you want to have fun. And
they
this isn't
like Mario Kart weapon.
Yeah, they do. Like, at first you're like, oh, that was a cool little, like, set piece for this one bit. But then they keep finding new things to do with it throughout the movie. And I was like, I kind of love these fucking things. I hope they never get rid of them.
I hope they use it in the next movie. It's just like, yeah, let's keep using the magnets. Let's just do that.
Say, what are these things? Like, it's a miracle.
I was thinking of the same clown posse. I bet they were listening to that song like, he's got a good point. How did the fuck do they work?
There's no Rock or Jason Statham, although Statham is given a nod of the head too, because Helen Mirren appears at one point. Well, his mom.
Yeah, there's good references to him for sure.
You know, wait, that's his mom?
Yeah, that's his mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't that check out though?
No, not at all.
Did you watch the same movie? Of course it checks out.
I don't know. I think that this is not going to win over any new fans to the series who decided they didn't like previous ones, but it's as good a starting place as any on some level, you know? I mean, I think this is actually one of the best chapters of this franchise so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, it's stupid, it's got a gigantic budget, obviously, and it looks good most of the time. It's got all the people just loving on each other constantly, like, I would do anything for you. I'd do anything for you! Aw, let's hug! You know, it's got a lot of that. I love that shit, and ultimately, it plays with the internal stuff in the universe and building onto the mythology, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do go to outer space.
They do.
Literally every reference you could want shows up here. I mean, we joked earlier about Nathan, who is clearly the biggest super fan we could find outside of Brian Salisbury being busy. After the movie gets out, he goes, I can't believe they brought back that character from Vin Diesel's short film prequel to the third movie. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about, Nathan? He's like, what, you didn't watch that? No, I did not watch every special feature on the fourth movie Blu-ray. I'm sorry, no.
Really, you didn't?
You think he's watched the cartoons on Netflix?
The cartoon would be more grounded than the movie.
But we are going to follow this up with a secondary podcast on this, yes, as a bonus feature for subscribers that will feature two of these guys, Wright and Marcos, because for them, they're relatively new to the series, along with some other people who were there at the screening as well. Objectively new to the series. So trying to get there. So what do you think happened before this story? So listen to that for more details on what it's like to go into one of these films kind of cold. But we are reviewing this movie, and you two are on it. I'm really curious to know. I mean, you said to some extent, right, already that you felt like it was one of the weaker ones, but I didn't really get a feel for how ultimately what your enjoyment level was of it.
I enjoyed it enough. I get now, like, what the whole hoopla is, you know, that these movies have. And honestly, it's the actors, not the characters, because all the characters are kind of terrible, but...
you take that back!
Well, it's the charisma and, like, their chemistry. Like, they all really have great chemistry that I was kind of enamored with, just trying to see, like, what happens next, and they're all, like, in it for each other, and okay, there was one part when I think Vin Diesel, Dom, is that his name? I don't know anyone's name in this movie. Yeah. He was talking about, I was like, you guys want to leave, you could leave if you want to, and they're like, no, we're in this for you, man. We're in this together. I was like, that's what family is, isn't it?
For the record, every report, everyone who's actually in this cast really do hang out all the time and are great, great buddies.
Yeah.
And that's why The Rock isn't in this movie, because he's the first guy ever who's like, yeah, me and Vin don't get along anymore.
So. I also have a great affinity for The Rock, too. And so I was just like, yeah, I could see that. But I liked it. I thought it was really utterly ridiculous. More ridiculous than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I am, again, curious. I know that, like, the fifth one is when people are like, wait, are these good now? Like, are these actually kind of fun? That's when I first heard about it.
It depends on who you talk to, because I'm of the opinion four is the first one that you're like, this took a total turn into a completely different type of
more
film
of like
series.
A spy action ridiculous movie, right?
Yeah, where
just...
they're like, well, this is gonna be absurd, but yeah, not absurd just because it's a
is
badly
over the
made
top
movie.
Heist movie. Five is when it gets kind of spy-ish and crazy.
Yeah,
but four is definitely when it starts taking the turn of like, oh, yeah, one was good, and the other two we'll acknowledge in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone's going in like, yeah, but what about that shot in that one scene? I don't think anyone's like, no one's really like critiquing about that, because there are a few moments, like in some of the fighting action scenes, it was just edited really poorly. And I was really hoping, are they going to do like long, like single takes for somebody? Because that would have been really cool, not only to show like the bombastic action, but also show how badass they are for whatever reason. I thought they're all race car drivers, but I guess they're also superheroes at the same time.
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah.
You know what's really weird about the bad editing? It's like, depending on who's fighting, the take's a little bit longer. Like, that's the weird thing for me when it came to the fight scene.
I didn't even have a problem with the editing. I have a problem with the thing that so many people do when they do fight scenes, is they feel like they need to do a handheld camera without a steady cam, and so it's all shaky to give the illusion of like, oh, it's chaotic. I fucking hate it when directors
some
do that.
Some of the better fight scenes and the ones that fall victim to that. The fight scene in Japan is such a great cast of fighters. That one I just like too frequently. It's like, what the hell's happening? You're shaking it too much. You're moving it too much.
Yeah.
And there's also that good one in the back of a truck that's like, it was at least more creative, so it at least won some points back with that. But it was just too many of those quick cuts and shaky cams sometimes for me to be like, you're ruining the little bit of geometry you have in this tiny space.
I couldn't tell how many people were in each scene at some point. Like, definitely in the car, I was like, weren't there like... six people in the back of this truck, and now there's like three.
Well, yeah. Lynn knows how to shoot the shit out of racing. No question. Like, car stuff,
sure, yeah,
shoots the shit out of it. You know totally what's going on, which baffles me why you can't do hand-to-hand combat. But I'm like, dude, get an AD that knows how to shoot these fucking scenes, because that is definitely your weak spot. You know, I mean, get the guy from The Raid. That guy knows how to shoot the shit. You know? I know, right? Like, maybe he should direct the 10th one. I don't know. Then he'd probably suck at directing racing scenes. You know? So you'd be like, fuck.
Can't they just run everywhere?
It's kind of funny, like, one of your complaints is the fight scenes. There's a UFC heavyweight champion in the back of the truck.
Yeah. they even at one point like to point out these guys. See those guys that got cauliflower ears? That means they're fighters. And they're like, we kind of figured you didn't need to. Okay. But Marcos, you as well, this is relatively new to you. Did this translate more to you, or are you about the same level as Wright on that?
So I liked it probably as much as Wright, but for the opposite reason. I was really bored when the people were on camera. Like, anytime Tyrese talks, I'm like, no, just keep going. Go back to the cars. If you're in the cars, everything is amazing. Whatever scene it is, if they're behind the wheel, something fun is happening. That's where I had the most fun, because I haven't seen one since 3.
Mm.
And that's like, okay, cool, they can drift. They can do a lot more than drift now.
Did they drift in this movie?
You just don't notice it, because it's the least thing
they're just
they do.
So fast.
And furious.
And they were so furious.
I mean, they literally strap a jet engine to a car in this film. I'm just saying. It's that kind of movie, but we got to move to final thoughts. But we'll let Ben start, because he hasn't had as much of a chance, because he wasn't a noob. He's seen all these as well. So yeah. Ben,
I love this franchise. It is that thing of just where you go, I want to turn off my brain and see spectacle, and this franchise does spectacle better than just about any other franchise out there right now. Arguably Mission Impossible, but this kind of just beats it, because it goes, how can we one up ourselves as stupid and crazy and just nail that? And I just have so much fun with it every time. I had to tell my parents right away how I like the movie, because it's the only one that my mom won't watch the big Hollywood action movie anymore. She loves these for some reason. So it's got wide appeal if you're just willing to be like, I want to see a fun movie that's worth seeing on a big screen. That's this. I mean, you get to love the cast, especially if you know the franchise. I mean, Roman Tyrese does kind of grate on you if you don't know the franchise, because he starts off pretty much grating in the second movie, and they've actually worked with him to become one. Having Tej give him shit in every movie helps balance that. And then two, like, Tyrese has a lot of heart where he clearly loves what he's doing more than anything. And also, if you've listened to any of our other reviews, me and Chris reviewed The Misfits, where you see what happens when somebody doesn't understand how to pull back a character like Tyrese, and you get to really respect that more and more when you see it. We kind of covered just enough of the action that I don't want to spoil anything else, except for to say I do think the magnets equal pulling a safe through Rio de Janeiro. Like,
oh, yeah.
And they use them repeatedly in so many stupid different ways, where it's just a joy. Like, I got popcorn and a beer for this, and it was like the perfect just Monday night for me. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 trucks that just keep being flipped despite they're bigger than my apartment.
That's like 3 times the size of your apartment.
God, at least.
What about you, Wright?
Okay, I kind of want to go and actually watch at least a few of them. Maybe I'll just get recommendations like start here, start there, and then you just got to watch those. It's like, okay, because I thought it was pretty fun. And again, it is like a, you know, turn off your brain, not really paying attention to what in the hell is happening, because there is so much happening. And I wasn't lost, which was good. I at least didn't feel that. A lot of the action was really fun, and I did like all the actors together, because it really seems like they enjoy themselves and enjoy each other a lot, and they're like, they really are a family. For a first-timer watching this, like, I get it now. I am, again, interested to see others. I mean, it's still like, you know, we can all admit it's not like a good movie.
No, we can't, right?
Like, I just want to make sure, it's like, we do understand this right now, but I still think it's pretty fun. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Coronas. The beer, not the virus.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Marcus?
It was a great introduction to the series. I had a lot of fun. I can see all the flaws in it, which I guess is part of it. Everyone's like, it's bad, but it was great. So, I mean, I'll give it 7 out of 10 Pontiac Fieros.
I think that the perfect mix of these films is A, you got to keep the comedy rolling throughout it. B, you got to come up with new, totally insane and implausible stunts. And it's fine if we know they're impossible. But you gotta make it fun, you gotta make it shot well, and then you just don't give a fuck that it's implausible, because it's just a fun gimmick. We know that these movies, nothing in here, like, even in the first movie, there's lots of stuff you're like, that could never happen, you know? And it's just gotten more ridiculous from there as these movies have gone on. And the lesser ones, you go, well, okay, I mean, it took me out of it a little. And the better ones, you go, I'm not taken out of it at all, because I'm just having too much fun to even think about it. And this movie doesn't give you a lot of time to think about it. It just moves. Even the scenes where it does slow down, when it's going into the past and flashbacks and we start seeing more and more about the family and the history, I actually thought they handled that stuff extremely well. I was really, really happy with how that pulled off, because when it started that way, I was like, oh no. Oh, this is going to be tedious, these sequences. And it never was. I really, really enjoyed that stuff. John Cena is a fun addition to the cast here, and I can't wait for 10, where presumably they're just going to bring back every last person that's ever been in these films at all, and then some. I mean, I can't wait to see who's going to play, like I said, the bad guy in this one's dad. And, oh yeah, Charlize Theron will be around. Of course she will, because everyone's like, she's one of the best villains ever in the series.
That's so crazy to me that they actually have Charlize Theron in these movies.
I think she, like, asked to be in them.
Yeah, a lot of people. Helen Mirren asked to be in the series.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Because they understand that they're Hollywood actors that are like, can I just do something fun? I want to do something fun.
It's like, those movies look like they're super fun to make, and apparently, they're super fun to make.
I guess so.
I mean, if you're like a 70-something-year-old woman, and you've done a lot of work in your life, a lot of which is probably more dry English sitting room dramas, and they're like, do you want to get behind the wheel of a super high-performance car and like have the cops chasing you and shooting at you? You'd be like, this is going to be my only shot at this. So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, but who do I get to sit next to? Vin Diesel? Oh. Okay.
That's pretty good. I'd love to sit next to Vin Diesel.
I feel like Vin Diesel probably came up like the most, like, so happy to meet her when she said she wanted to meet her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I did really, really enjoy the shit out of this. This is actually one of my favorites of the series so far. Okay. It made me even more excited for a new one. And I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 characters realizing that maybe none of this is real. Because as excited as everyone was about the space stuff, and I was too, I was like, yes, they're going to space. There's a sequence in here where one of the characters starts going, wait a minute, has it occurred to anyone there's no way that all of us are still alive after all the dumb, crazy shit we've done? There's like, no way. It doesn't make sense that we're alive. It's like, I just had 14 guys shoot at me at close range. I don't have a scratch on me. That's not, something fucked up's going on. And I'll tell you what, I hope the 10th movie just matrixes the shit out of this.
There's only one issue I have with that scene, because he's like, I don't have any scars. If you didn't go to show women so they would sleep with me. That's exactly that character.